The chaos of free agency is just hours away, and what will the Miami Heat be doing? Will they re-sign P.J. Tucker and Victor Oladipo? Will Tyler Hero get his new contract? And can Jalen Brunson be on his way to the Heat? We break it all down on today's edition of Locked On Heat.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Heat Nation. It's a late Wednesday edition of Locked On Heat, your daily podcast covering all things Miami Heat. However, you may be listening or watching on YouTube, on Odyssey, or on your favorite podcast app. Thanks so much for making us your first listen every day. I'm David Ramil, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Wes Goldberg. Locked On Heat is partnering with Arcade 1UP to give away three free NBA Jam Shaq machines. That's right, three. These are the guys known for making the incredible retro three-quarter scale at-home arcade games like Pac-Man, Golden Tee, and many others. You can enter to win on arcade1up.com/lockedon. That's arcade1up.com/lockedon for your chance to win one. We're going with a late Wednesday edition because right now, less than 24 hours away from the start of NBA free agency, so much is happening. Little news here and there trickling all over, reports, rumors, possibilities, so much going on, and a lot of it going on with your team, the Miami Heat. So we'll talk about what happens with P.J. Tucker. Will he wind up signing back with Miami, or will he join the rival 76ers? Will Victor Oladipo choose to come back, or could he look for more money elsewhere? But we'll start today's show with a new report just right now, as right before we're recording this, from Chris Haynes over at Yahoo Sports, indicating that the Miami Heat are one of three teams, a dark horse contender, to lure Jalen Brunson away from the Dallas Mavericks. Three teams will be meeting with Brunson at the start of free agency, or probably before, as things work out. The Dallas Mavericks, the New York Knicks, and the Miami Heat. So, Wes, we talked about this in yesterday's episode. You kind of threw it out there as a crazy possibility. I mentioned the fact that the Heat do love their Villanova guys. He's a winner at every level. Just seems like it makes a lot of sense, but I am very, very surprised at the actuality of Miami requesting a meeting with Jalen Brunson. What do you think of the news?
Requesting a meeting and getting that meeting, right? All this stuff was kind of leading us towards Jalen Brunson signing with the Knicks. His dad is a part of the Knicks staff there. He's got relationships up and down that front office. It kind of felt like it was that the Knicks had the makings of everything that he was looking for, an opportunity to have the ball in his hands more than ever, as opposed to playing next to Luka Doncic and all these things. And yet here come the Miami Heat. And look, first of all, I don't want to jump the gun on this and say, well, all right, you know, start printing out the Jalen Brunson Miami Heat jerseys, but it would not be the first time that we've gotten reports that everything is a done deal with the Knicks. And then they not get the player that we thought that they were going to get. See Kyrie Irving, see Kevin Durant, see a bunch of free agents over the last 20 years. This is sort of what the Knicks do, is kind of put it out there like, hey, this is a done deal, and then it not actually be a done deal. Right. If Jalen Brunson is looking to have the ball in his hands, well, he would have it in Miami because this would require a sign and trade, probably involving Kyle Lowry. Kyle Lowry would go back to Dallas. We know that Dallas likes Kyle Lowry. The Mavericks would be much more willing to play ball with Miami than they would be with the Knicks, only because you don't really want anything from the Knicks. And at the very least, you probably want Kyle Lowry from Miami. Lowry's not a great fit next to Luka Doncic the way that Jalen Brunson was a good fit next to Luka Doncic. And for those Heat fans who might not know a whole lot about Jalen Brunson, put Kyle Lowry in a time machine, make him 10 years younger, boom, you got Jalen Brunson. Very similar style players, right? And Jalen Brunson, more of probably an isolation score, more ability as an iso score at this point in his career versus Lowry. There's a lot to like, and if you get him, then all of a sudden, even if it's a sign-and-trade, you have kind of your answer at point guard in the long term. And all the things about Jalen Brunson that people love, his leadership skills, the things that you were talking about, the fact that he's a winner, I mean, he feels like exactly what the Heat were looking for when they got Kyle Lowry. It's not to say that Lowry isn't that guy, but if you have an opportunity to trade the older version for the newer model, maybe you do it.
It makes a lot of sense. I'm just taken back by the whole thing. Like, even as we're recording this, we just found out about this less than 20 minutes before we started recording. And, and again, we started hinting at it in yesterday's episode, but you're absolutely right. Like, the fit almost makes too much sense. And we've seen this from Miami in the past. Like, you know, even last year, you heard reports, oh, Kyle Lowry looking at Chicago, Kyle Lowry looking at New Orleans, Kyle Lowry looking at the Mavericks. And then all of a sudden, Miami comes swooping in. You knew that they wanted to upgrade their point of attack defense. They certainly got that upgrade with Lowry for the one season he's played in Miami. And now all of a sudden, can you potentially upgrade? And look, the biggest question mark is who's the complimentary scorer alongside Jimmy Butler next season as Jimmy Butler continues to age and maybe can't carry a team for a whole 82-game regular season, saving himself for the playoffs just as he did this past year. Yeah. And the answer would be alongside Tyler Herro, well, heck, Jalen Brunson. And now all of a sudden you get that upgrade offensively because I think it's pretty clear that Brunson is a more consistent scorer mm-hmm. at this stage in his career than Lowry is. But you've gotten younger. You've got somebody that fits that timeline for the next phase of the Miami Heat that includes Bam Adebayo and yeah. Tyler Herro. He fits that timeline perfectly.
Fits this timeline too. He just played in the conference finals, playoff experience.
Exactly. And look, big time collegiate experience. He's a winner.
Yes.
Two titles, if I'm not mistaken, at Villanova. And that means something to this organization that you've proven that you can carry a team or be part of it, that you know what it takes to win. And he stepped up big. There were moments there where he was arguably, maybe not even that arguably, the better player over Luka Doncic. Maybe not over a sustained period of time, but from a game-to-game basis, there were games where Brunson was Dallas's best player. If they were targeting what Luka Doncic was doing offensively, Brunson stepped up and had some monster games for them. So again, if you're looking at that one-sided or one-dimensional offense of the Miami Heat last year in the playoffs because it was basically Jimmy or bust, well, now all of a sudden you have a much better bust. And I think it's a great fit. Who knows how it'll pan out, but just that Miami has gotten
yeah.
secretly their foot in the door speaks volumes of how much well, they think they believe in him and then want him on this roster. Like they wouldn't put it out there. I'm not sure where the leak came from, but the fact that they've already
it's Chris Haynes. It's Chris Haynes. So it came from the player side. This is a player like that's where Chris Haynes sources are all the players. And that's what makes him such a unique newsbreaker here. It feels like maybe this wasn't always... I think Jalen Brunson was probably on the board for the Miami Heat this whole offseason. But after the Brooklyn Nets stuff went down, after Kyrie opted in, and it looked like Kyrie was going to stay at least in the short term, and Kevin Durant is going to stay there, the Heat, Bradley Beal opts out. Sounds like the belief around the league is that he's going to re-sign the Supermax five-year deal with Washington. You just kind of keep going down that board, and you kind of land on, all right, who's available? It's Jalen Brunson. And we know that Miami's priority is to maintain cap flexibility and not be hard capped. But if you can get a player like Jalen Brunson back, then maybe it's worth kind of punting that priority, allowing yourself to get hard capped and going after a guy like Jalen Brunson, which would in turn mean, okay, well, we're already hard capped. Let's go ahead and use the full mid-level exception, bring back PJ Tucker. And then you're looking at a starting five of Jalen Brunson, Jimmy Tyler Herro or Max Strus, Jimmy Butler, PJ Tucker, and Bam Adebayo. I think that's an upgraded roster. I don't know how much of an upgraded roster that is, but to me, the reason we're getting this report now is because, credit to Chris Haynes, but also because it feels like once the Brooklyn option was no longer an option, Miami just sort of turned their attention to something else, and this is a way to potentially improve the roster. Why not have the meeting, right? Why not have the meeting, talk to Jalen Brunson, his representation, see if you can get something on board with Dallas and all these things, and just explore that option.
And we've seen this from Miami in the past, right? Like, you know, their meeting with LaMarcus Aldridge when he entered free agency, Kevin Durant, even when it seemed pretty clear that he was going to join the Golden State Warriors. Like, Miami still, to this day, able to get those meetings. So I know a lot of Heat fans feel a sense of desperation right now because it seems likely that PJ Tucker will leave, that they haven't swung that big trade for Kyrie or KD or something like that, but that's myopic, in my opinion. I think this team is still focused. And again, we reiterated this before. Even if they wound up having done nothing this free agency or this offseason, they were one shot away from the NBA Finals. By any measure, this was a highly successful team last year. And whether it's sustainable or not, I don't think of this as a failure of an offseason, whether they're able to acquire Brunson or not. But they're still able to get those meetings. They're still able to make an impression on these players. And I think that speaks volumes. So we'll talk about Miami's own free agents, including PJ Tucker and Victor Oladipo, and some reports that they may be on their way out. But before we do that, just wanted to tell you about, well, the big news, the one, the only NBA Jam is back. Arcade 1UP, the leader in at-home retro arcade games, is not only bringing the best game ever back, but they've made it bigger than ever with a Shaq Edition machine. People are obsessed with NBA Jam, and I'm thrilled to tell our listeners that you can once again play hoops with NBA Legends. It's just arcade classic. Just picture Jimmy and Bam going up for that incredible dunk with a ball on fire. You can jump clear across the court. You can set that ball on fire in one of the first sports games ever to feature real and digitized NBA licensed teams. No fouls, no free throws, and no court is required. You can compete with friends and family through their all-new Wi-Fi leaderboards, making you more connected than ever. Pre-order now from Arcade 1UP. That's Arcade, the number one, up.com for an estimated early September ship date, just in time for the holidays. They've got even more classics too at Arcade 1. Our Golden Tee, Mortal Kombat, and many others. Just found that they have Marvel Superheroes, one of my favorite games growing up because I am such a big comic book geek. They're giving away the NBA Jam Shaq Edition to a Locked On listener. So you can enter for a chance to win a game console for your man cave or anywhere else in the house at arcade1up.com/lockdown. That's arcade, the number one.com/lockdown. You got till July 8th to enter to win the NBA Jam Shaq Edition console. Don't miss out. Enter today. Who are you going to play with? Thanks for making Locked On Heat your first listen every day. Just a reminder that you can always subscribe to Locked On Heat on YouTube or on your favorite app to get podcasts. We'll be doing a live show tomorrow evening at the start of NBA free agency, breaking the news right along with you. As you're checking notifications, we will be too, giving you our perspective on whatever moves are happening around the league, including the potential trade to, well, who knows? Who knows if they'll be able to acquire said point guard Jalen Brunson, or they're able to swing a trade for another star. But whatever happens, we'll be there to bring you the news. So make sure to subscribe to the show to get that kind of coverage available to
quick
you.
News. Quick news from Mark Stein.
Oh, no.
reporting that it was Jalen Brunson who sought the meeting with Miami.
Well, goddamn. That's significant. That's significant.
It could be. It could be, hey, let's just get a third team involved here.
Why?
You know that the Heat are the big swing. Leverage, contract-wise, leverage. You know, instead of playing two teams off of each other, let's play three teams off of each other. That could be part of it. Or, you know, the Heat granted the meeting. There must be some sort of level of interest. So obviously nothing is guaranteed. It's just a meeting. We know that. But maybe it also means that Jalen Brunson would like to play for the Miami Heat.
I think that matters. To me, you're right. Maybe it could be a leverage play. We'll never,
it's just interesting.
We'll never quite get the understanding here. Rick Brunson would be Pat Riley guy. So the timeline doesn't work out. I'm trying to think whether or not Rick Brunson may have said something about Pat Riley or anything along those lines, because maybe he played for the Knicks, but he played more for Jeff Van Gundy. So a disciple of Riley's nonetheless.
Know. Yeah.
But that connection there is still strange. But anyway, we'll take you to the reports from Bleacher Report's Jake Fisher, who had the following to say regarding, he has a new column out every day, right? I think it's a daily column where he basically goes through the news and notes around the league. And he had this to say about Miami's own free agents, Victor Oladipo is not expected to return to the Heat and is said to have interest from Washington, Denver, and Detroit in the salary range of the taxpayer mid-level exception. So that's the first bit of news regarding Victor Oladipo and his free agency. And a lot of people are taking it as that Oladipo's basically gone. Now, having said that, the Denver Nuggets and Washington Wizards were both in a trade with each other, sending Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Ish Smith to the Denver Nuggets in exchange for Monty Morris. And I can't remember the fourth player involved.
Will Barton.
Will Barton. There you go. So,
yeah. So those teams seem to be off the board for Oladipo.
Canceling each other out to an extent. Yeah. Not necessarily. Like, I guess you can never have too many defensive-minded wings, but more than likely saying, you know what, we swung a trade that fits the need. In case there's a possibility that they can't add Victor Oladipo to free agency. So that would leave, I guess, the Detroit Pistons as a possibility there.
Right. James Hamm, who reports on the Sacramento Kings, does a really good job, included Sacramento as a potential landing spot for Victor Oladipo. That makes a lot of sense for Oladipo if you're just trying to get the ball in your hands and kind of put up a bunch of good stats on a bad team on a one-year deal, up your value, and re-enter the free agent market next summer. And that's probably what Oladipo is going to look for, is just an opportunity to shine more than he's probably going to get in Miami, because it's hard to envision a path to him in the starting lineup with the Heat next year, even if he does resign. But Anthony Chang from Miami Herald reporting also on Wednesday afternoon that, to Jake Fisher's point, he's looking for maybe that taxpayer mid-level, which is between $6 and $7 million. Well, if that's all that he gets – then maybe Miami can come in because they have his bird rights and give him a nice little boost and say, you know what, I know you're not maybe not getting the opportunity, but we could pay you $8, $9, $10 million a year, still remain out of the luxury tax potentially, and bring you back on a nice lucrative deal, on a one-year deal, hopefully give you more opportunity than you had last year while you were mostly injured. So the door isn't shut on Victor Oladipo, but yeah. I do think that the odds of him coming back to Miami
seem less,
than him actually coming back to Miami. And that's something that you and I have talked about pretty much all summer.
Yeah, I was a little surprised to hear how certain it seems. Like at this point, it seems almost all but done. Like PJ, I can understand if there's an established relationship. Victor, his situation seems a lot more fluid. Like he just wants to put up big numbers. And I argue whether or not those numbers would seem more significant to free agents. Like let's say, best case scenario for Oladipo, he goes to the Kings or some other team like that, puts up, what, 20-5, 25-5, somewhere around there, returns somewhere in the proximity of that all-star form, shows over the course of 70-ish games per year that he can stay healthy, et cetera. Is that better than perhaps fighting Tyler Hero, competing against Tyler Hero for a starting role on a team that seems much more likely to advance deep in the playoffs?
Yes.
You think so?
Yes. I mean, those numbers you just put up are all-star numbers. He's averaging 20 to 25 points a game playing 70 games. If he's an all-star, yeah, he's going to be just fine next summer. He's going to get taken care of. No, I think if you're somebody like Victor Oladipo, who spent 2 years, you know, coming back from an injury, and you didn't really get the opportunity to the extent that you thought you might last year in Miami, I just think that these players just want the opportunity to show what they can do. It's that simple. We could talk about if you average this and that, and what kind of number can you get here over there. At the end of the day, these guys just want an opportunity to show what they can do, and Victor really didn't get that until players got hurt in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I see it. I wouldn't shut the door on it. I really wouldn't. Victor Oladipo's back in Miami working out.
Yeah.
I presume that the Heat are in touch with him and his camp, and will have an opportunity to meet with him again when free agency opens. But, you know, he did spend some time in Texas. I don't know if that means anything recently. The Dallas Mavericks make a lot of sense, depending on what happens with all this Jalen Brunson stuff. You know, so there's other teams that are going to be out there for Victor Oladipo. It's just going to be a matter of him waiting and seeing kind of what the market looks like. Cause I don't think he's one of those guys that, okay, within the first 10 minutes of free agency, he knows where exactly he's going to be going. I think some stuff has to shake out, to see where it is that he ends up, but we'll see. I don't think the door's closed.
So you think it might be one of those deals that's announced, not necessarily within the first hour, like the flurry that comes in right away, but maybe like day two, day three, or maybe even beyond that.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't think it'll be immediate. No, I don't think Victor Oladipo is like the top guy on many agent boards. Right. But maybe he is. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I think you did say at one point that re-signing Victor Oladipo was the priority for the Miami Heat. Do you think it categorizes as a setback for this Heat team that they weren't able to bring back Oladipo? Because so many Heat fans are looking at it as such. Do you think of it that way? Because I don't.
I would be disappointed if they did not at least look. You can't control Victor Oladipo is an unrestricted free agent. He can go wherever he pleases. But
of course,
I would be disappointed if the Heat did not offer him something very lucrative and say, you know what? Yeah, maybe we can't give you the playing time, but how's an extra $5 million sound? You know, and maybe that curbs his enthusiasm for trying to get the rock a little bit more. But I would be disappointed because I know there's luxury tax concerns. I understand that maybe you're going to be dealing with a hard cap if there's a sign and trade. But if you are able to avoid the hard cap, which seems to be a priority for this Heat team, then there is no excuse not to at least offer everything to Victor Oladipo to the point where at least he's a tradable contract. And you can work it out with Victor. Mm-hmm. You could say, look, we're going to give you a nice, let's call it $14 million, that you're not going to get anywhere else because that's higher than any mid-level exception that would be available. We're going to give you a nice $14 million pay raise. And we promise that if we can't get you the requisite playing time that you're looking for, that we'll find a deal for you by the trade deadline. That kind of stuff happens all the time in the NBA. Why not? Why not try to do something like that? I don't care about the luxury tax. Sorry, Mickey Arison, you own an NBA team. Do it. And then at least that way, you maintain that cap slot for a possible star move down the line, which is the whole point of this Miami Heat offseason, is to put themselves in position either now or later to go get another star next to Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo. Having that Victor Oladipo, having another cap slot at 14, 15, something like that would do it would make all, it could make all the difference in a potential deal. It's another stackable salary. It's another tradable salary that can get you to a place where you're able to facilitate a star trade. It's not to say that you can't do it without it, but I don't know why you wouldn't give yourself every option if possible.
Cap machinations aside, I think that from my perspective, it's not as severe a loss as people are making it seem. Like if people kind of
the player,
are one overstating. I'm sorry?
The player. You're talking about the player. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. People are overstating his impact. Like in last year's playoffs, I think they're over projecting what his impact could have been this season. And it's not to say that I have any kind of negative feelings about Oladipo or anything like that. I mean, I think I've been as supportive or as much of in his corner as possible. Having said that, like he did only get that playing time because he was, because there were injuries above him in the roster. He had some positive moments there as a player capable of deflecting passes and anticipating where a ball was going to go and things of that sort. But overall, as an offensive player, he mostly struggled. Like he was more of a liability offensively than anything else. Going 3 of 11, 3 of 12, et cetera, that's not going
to
get
you. I would like to see what he could do with like a full training camp and a full year. You could figure out a role. Like I get it. I would like to see what he could do there.
Yes. But even that though is like a really big risk. Like there's no way of knowing exactly what version of Oladipo will ever be available to Miami at this point moving forward. Like he has suffered too many difficult physical setbacks to ever be a sure thing. Look, where you can pencil him in and say, oh, you know what you're getting from him.
And to your point, they're not losing an all-star if they let Victor Oladipo walk. They're losing a guy who could potentially be a very helpful player.
Yes.
But they're not losing an all-star. And I think that's what a lot of people think that he is. And he told me, I'm still that guy. Well, you weren't when you got back. Does he have the capacity to get back there? Maybe. I'm not going to tell him he can't. But like I said, I think it would be a little disappointing to not see what you invested 2 years into, because we never really got to see full-blown Victor Oladipo with all the opportunity in the world in Miami. He would obviously be in a better situation if he came back, had a training camp and all those things, but that's just not the way the NBA works. Sometimes it's not ideal, but I would say that I'll say it again. The only reason not, if you're not encumbered by the hard cap, the only reason not to offer him something more than what he's getting anywhere else is just because you're cheap. It's just because you're cheap. And I don't think that's a good enough reason for an ownership.
So I'm holding out hope, as many Heat fans are, that he will be back in a Heat uniform next season. We'll have to wait and see. And, of course, we'll bring you whatever news breaks regarding Victor Oladipo's return or his departure on upcoming episodes of Locked On Heat. But before we do that, just want to tell you about a new sponsor of the show. Looking and feeling your best shouldn't mean deprivation. That's what so many people have equated when it comes to dieting. But instead, you can choose joy and abundance. Saqqara's organic, plant-rich, transformational nutrition programs are designed to help you cultivate body intelligence so you can nourish your body and experience the results you want. Saqqara is a wellness company anchored in food as medicine on a mission to nourish your body through the power of plants. As a vegetarian, I know how difficult it is to find all the diets that you're looking for, find the right foods and try to avoid expense. You don't have to worry about that with Saqqara. They give you the tools that you need to transform your life with their organic, ready-to-eat meal delivery program and functional wellness essentials. Not only is it plant-based, but it's also delicious. Their nutritionally designed, chef-crafted breakfasts, lunches, and dinners are made with powerful plant-rich ingredients, helping boost your energy, support your digestion, curb your sugar cravings, and get your skin glowing. Plus, it's all delivered right to your door, ready to eat. Saqqara's functional plant-rich wellness essentials help you create a body you love living in. From their best-selling metabolism super powder to the foundation, their daily supplement packs, Saqqara's products are designed to support your wellness goals anytime, anywhere. And right now, Saqqara is offering our listeners 20% off their first order when they go to saqqara.com/lockdown20 or enter the code lockdown20 at checkout. That's Saqqara, SAKARA.com/lockdown20 to get 20% off your first order. Saqqara.com/lockdown20. Thanks for making Locked On Heat your first listen every day. Just a reminder, you can always reach us via email at lockdownheat@gmail.com or via Twitter using the hashtag AskLHeat. Be sure to please subscribe to the show, leave a review, and make sure to subscribe so you can get the best coverage available. We'll be coming to you live at the start of free agency tomorrow on Thursday evening, so make sure to subscribe so you can be with us as we break the latest news around the NBA regarding your Miami Heat. Let's get to some potential names here, because we're going on. Oh, we get to the Tyler Herro, included in that piece, Jake Fisher. He mentions that Tyler Herro Early indications are that Tyler Hero's extension with Miami will settle around the $25 million mark in average annual value. So 4-year, $100 million extension for Tyler Hero. That seems like fair market value there at this point. Him signing that extension doesn't preclude him from being a trade piece in the future, although he won't be able to be traded at any point this season. But it seems like Miami is continuing their commitment to Tyler Hero, and I think that's the case. I think that's a smart move. I know some people would argue that they'd rather not offer that extension, that they'd rather let him go without the extension in the hopes that maybe it's another prove it year, I guess, for Tyler to show that he can continue to perform at a near all-star level. Any thoughts on the Tyler Hero extension?
Love it. I love it. Give him $25 million a year. I think it's the right price for him. I think it makes sense. I do not think it's an overpay. This is a guy who's just scoring 20 points a game in the NBA is hard. And I don't care, man. Like, you could tell me he mostly did it off the bench or whatever. He did it a lot against other starters. He was playing really big minutes. He had a lot of responsibility on that offense. What he did was not easy. And the leap he made from year two to year three, and the leap that the Heat anticipate he will make from year three to year four. I know that some people believe that the Heat are not high on Tyler Hero because it just feels like every fake trade involves Tyler Hero. That's a fake trade online, okay? The Heat front office remains very, very high on Tyler Hero. And in fact, we're not going to include him in a Kyrie Irving trade, even if that was a thing. And what signing him to an extension, first of all, these things don't happen right away. It's probably going to happen in October, right before the season starts. That just tends to be when these things are done. But if you do sign him to this extension, then that's kind of saying, like, hey, we're not going to trade this guy for a year, because until the next league year begins, then you basically are dealing with a poison pill contract. And essentially what that means is the value going out is much different than the value coming in if you're the team bringing in Tyler Hero. And so just basically what that means is it's really hard to match salary and virtually impossible to trade that player. And so if we go back to what Miami's top priority is, which is to go get a star sooner rather than later, whether that be Jalen Brunson, or if the Jalen Brunson thing doesn't work out here and you're going to get like that capital S star, which I don't think Jalen Brunson is, like, then and you're trying to maintain your cap flexibility, but you're still signing Tyler Hero to that extension before the start of the season, that basically precludes you from using Hero in that deal, which means that the Heat are not only committed to Tyler Hero, but also still, if they avoid the hard cap, committed to chase and letting PJ Tucker walk and all these things, because you're committed to avoiding the hard cap, it means that you're also committed to trying to trade for a star midseason. So if that's where you want to take this conversation, I just think there's so many interesting layers to this.
Well, I will say a couple of things. Like, one about Tyler Hero being included in the fake trades and everything else, regardless of whether Miami would include him or not. I think we're all kind of ignoring the fact that if you're willing to trade Tyler Hero, or if Tyler Hero is the only player that other teams would want, I think it's because Tyler Hero is such a good young player. Like, we can't overlook that. Like, nobody wants an older Jimmy Butler. I mean, some teams would. Nobody wants necessarily an older Kyle Lowry. Bam Adebayo, certainly, but there's limitations there. Like, if you're looking at your best trade asset one way or the other, and it's Tyler Hero, I think that says a lot about the player, given his age, given the fact that there is that all-star level potential, that he just won Sixth Man of the Year. And I think he is still a great player that 29 other teams would covet in one way. Having said that, like, we're also forgetting how great a player he was during the regular season. Like, we've mentioned it countless times on this show that the FTX Arena crowd lives and dies with every Hero shot. Unlike any other player in the Heat uniform, he was Miami's best player on many an occasion during the regular season, flirted with being the team's leading scorer. Like, again, was the Sixth Man of the Year for a very good reason. And the fact that he may have had some not so great games in the playoffs, mostly due to injuries, and the fact that he was facing a pretty good Celtics defense that was clearly targeting and trying to take him out of the game. I mean, like, what are we going through? Why are we doing this for Tyler Hero year after year? Is it like, what was the expectation every time? Like, that he's going to be a 30-point-per-game scorer in his third year at age 21? Like, it's so ridiculous to keep putting him through this ridiculous routine every offseason.
He needs to get better, no doubt about it. His limitations were put on display in the playoffs. He's not a perfect player. But the Heat believe in his capacity to get better. And that is the important thing. And that's why you sign him to an extension like this to lock him up long term,
right,
is because you believe in his capacity to keep improving. The untouchables on this roster in a trade are Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo. We know that, right? Like, outside of a Giannis or a Kevin Durant, like, those are basically the untouchable guys on this roster. I don't think Tyler Hero is untouchable, but he's a lot closer to that than I think a lot of fans want to give him credit for. That said, I want to kind of go back to that other layer of this. Good for Tyler Hero on eventually getting this extension, which it sounds like is probably going to happen. And if it does happen, and the Heat still let PJ Tucker walk and they maintain their cap flexibility by not being hard capped, then I wonder why it is that they're going to be doing that. Because all the other reporting around here is that, hey, the Heat's number one priority, Anthony Chang and Ira Winderman both reporting it today, the number one priority is to stay out of the hard cap. That hard cap only applies for 1 year, which means if you're the Heat and you think that your next star isn't available now, is only available next offseason, then you wouldn't care about the hard cap, right? You would just get hard capped and then wait until next year. But they obviously think that this star is going to be available still between now and basically the trade deadline. And so when I think about, okay, what star is the Heat considering here, we kind of end up at the three names that we keep talking about, right? Donovan Mitchell, Bradley Beal, and Kyrie Irving. And I just don't think that the Heat's pursuit of either of those three guys is over. And I actually think that they probably believe the chances of one of them asking for a trade or getting out of their potential or their current situation is probably greater to happen between now and next February than it would be, you know, next offseason, right? Because if you didn't believe that, then you wouldn't care about the hard cap.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be 100% honest with you. Like, my eyes start to cross whenever I start thinking about the kind of level, the complexity of having to work your way through this. I am clearly no Andy Ellisberg, you know, maybe around the waistline, that's about it. But aside from that, like, you know, it's just hard to envision exactly what their goals are. And at the same time, like, I don't know that I necessarily care as much, because we've seen that whatever their intent or their goal is, they always find some way to make it happen. And maybe that's just like a comfort level, a fallback ideology that I've gotten too accustomed to, is that, you know what, I don't even have to think about the numbers because somebody much better at this than I am is already doing it. And that's Andy Ellisberg. And he's going to figure out a way to get them into winning position and get the player that they want.
Well, who is the player that they want then? Because if it's Beal, Kyrie, or Donovan Mitchell, and you can't, and if you think one of those guys is coming available before the deadline, I find it hard to believe that you'd be able to acquire Bradley Beal by not trading Tyler Hero, right? And if you sign him to the extension, you can't trade him. I find it really hard to believe that you can acquire Donovan Mitchell without trading Tyler Hero in that deal. So the name that I keep landing on is Kyrie Irving, because we already knew they were never going to include Hero in a Kyrie Irving deal in the first place. So if this Jalen Brunson thing doesn't happen and you still have Kyle Lowry and some of these other things, can you flip that guy for basically a few months rental of Kyrie Irving? I kind of wonder if that's where the Heat front office is still thinking, is Kyrie Irving. Because I'm just trying to read the tea leaves here, David.
No, it has to be. It has to be. Like the pursuit of Brunson is a pretty clear indicator in one way or another that maybe there's the milk has soured to some degree on Kyle Lowry. Like, maybe the expectation is that that he won't get into that world-class shape that Pat Riley spoke about at the end of season press conference. Like, maybe the hope is that he will, but, you know,
I mean, he's older anyway, man. Like, even if he gets into world-class shape.
Yeah. It's not going to take 5 years off the odometer there. So I think that's a big part of it. There are concerns about him being able to step up at any point moving forward. And look,
Maybe it's less of a Kyle Lowry thing, because I do think that they like Lowry, but maybe it's more of, hey, maybe we have a long-term answer here in Jalen Brunson or a potential star in Kyrie Irving. Maybe it's more a reflection on those players
That's a big risk, though. Maybe.
I mean, it is.
Maybe, but it's also a big risk. Like an older Lowry versus a younger Kyrie Irving and the off-the-court
We know all the Kyrie,
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty big risk there. And having said that, I feel like maybe there is some kind of it's not negative perception, but at least maybe not high levels of optimism about Lowry's ability to continue to contribute at a high level moving forward. So, you know, it's interesting to see how it plays out. Anything else about today's show?
Yeah, I think we should mention the Danilo Gallinari stuff just to do one more game. I know we're going long, but there's just so much stuff happening right now in the NBA. The San Antonio Spurs and the Hawks completing a trade, sending DeJounte Murray over to Atlanta for like 1,000 draft picks and Danilo Gallinari. The expectation is that the Spurs are going to buy out Danilo Gallinari, who his cap number is $20 million, but his guaranteed is only $5 million. So you could buy him out and only have to pay $5 million up front, which is a cheap way to buy him out. San Antonio looks like they're in super tank mode to go get that kid out of Paris next year. Gallinari can't do anything there. There's no real value there. I don't think that they would try to just hold on to him and trade him at the deadline because it's just like a $20 million figure.
They did that with Thad Young, though.
Yeah, $20 million is a lot, though. Like, Thad Young was making half that. For, you know, that's a hard contract to trade at the deadline when not a lot of people have that kind of space. So I could see a buyout happening. And if that's the case, it sounds like the two teams that could be in pursuit of Danilo Gallinari is Boston and Miami. If I'm the Heat, the name Danilo Gallinari has long intrigued me. We know that they almost pulled the trigger on a trade a couple of years ago, but you know, balked at an additional first round pick being included, decided not to go in that direction. So I think that there's definitely a level of interest between the Heat and Danilo Gallinari. I just don't know at this stage in his career that Gallinari is like the PJ Tucker solution. You know, maybe it's not an ideal situation. If PJ Tucker walks, I think Gallinari helps address that spot, but I think you'll probably need a little bit more help. I would be a little hesitant to offer like the mid-level exception, like the $6 million one that doesn't hard cap you to Danilo Gallinari at this stage in his career. But if you can get him at the minimum, I think that's a home run. And it might be possible considering that he's going to be making $5 million anyway. You give him the veteran minimum. That's kind of close to what the mid-level exception would be already. I don't know how many contenders are lining up to give Danilo Gallinari their mid-level exception either. So the market will dictate it. But if you can get him at the minimum, I think that would be a home run.
Yeah, it's hard to envision exactly, you know, or to predict exactly what a player's motivations are at this stage of their career. He's a little older. He wants to win. But he was interested in coming to Miami, and there was mutual interest there, obviously, from the team's perspective. I think that means something to players. You often see that. Look, it happened with PJ Tucker. It's like, oh, you knew you were interested in acquiring me a couple of years ago. Now as a free agent, I'm coming back here, et cetera. So we'll see how it plays out. And in the unlikely scenario of PJ Tucker returning to Miami, and if you're still able to get Gallo on the vet minimum as a backup there, and you draft Nikola Jovic too, like that's like maybe the ultimate best case scenario, but that's still a possibility. Like, you know, at this point, nobody knows exactly for sure what's happening. Despite all the reporting about Tucker signing with Philadelphia and everything else, there is still a chance of him coming back. So, and if you can add Gallo to the mix, you're not going to count on him. You brought up a good point before we started recording that even as a mentor to Jovic, another European player who's been through it, who can kind of help him get his footing in the NBA.
He's been compared to Gallo, Jovic, like his scouting report largely compared to Gallinari. I love the fit. I think it's a good fit. I just don't like defensively you're giving up a lot if he's your starter. That's why I don't think he's the exact PJ Tucker replacement. He could be part of it, but we'll see. And like you said, maybe you get both of them. Yeah. That'd be great.
Yeah. That would be great. Well, thanks again for making Locked On Heat your first listen every day. Make sure to stay tuned for our live episode tomorrow at the start of NBA Free Agency, where we bring you all the latest news from the most chaotic and, many would tell you, the funnest time of year around the NBA. For your second listen, stay up to date with the latest news and rumors in the NBA in just 30 minutes every day with Locked On NBA. You'll be jumping on there after you jump on Locked On Heat. Locked On NBA, your daily NBA update in just 30 minutes. This is David Ramil. Signing off for now. Thanks so much for joining me, Wes.
Wrap it up, B.